Once upon a time, there was a very important man in a very important army in a very important country. His name was Naaman. He was a war hero. He was a general. He wore a fancy uniform. People passed him on the street, tipped their hats, and said, "Thank you for your service." Women passing him on the street looked him up and down and wished they were married to him. Little boys would stare up at him and think, "That's what I want to be when I grow up." Naaman was valiant. He was a hero. He was important. And he knew it. But that was before it happened. One day, he noticed a little red spot on his skin. No big deal, just a little spot. And then the spot grew, eventually covered his skin, turned white and scaly. He tried to hide it at first, cover it up with his pretty uniform, make sure he doesn't bathe anywhere where people would see him. But the disease gets worse. His fingernails and toenails rotted black, fell off. Eventually, fingers and toes did the same. Hair on his head fell out. It happens. His eyebrows fell out. His gums receded so that his teeth would eventually fall out. And he'd seen people die from it enough to know that when it gets bad, bad, your nose would rot away and your eyes would rot before you would die. Though everything else about Naaman was important and powerful and going great, his disease rendered him pitiable. Now, when people passed him by on the street, onlookers cringed their noses. Mothers pulled their children closer to their side. And even beggars would look at him and thank God that they were not like Naaman. But not everyone looked at him that way. There was another pitiable person. And she was unimportant. She was a little girl kidnapped from her home. Was her father killed by Naaman and his comrades? Maybe. If he wasn't, he probably wished he had been, rather than live wondering what happened to his little girl. She grew up in a good Jewish home, read the book, went to worship, said their prayers. But she didn't get to finish growing up there. She was ripped out of the arms of her parents to spend the rest of her life as a servant. Some translations say maid. Can we just be honest? Call her a slave. The girl had the right to spend the rest of her life miserable, angry at God, fiercely angry at her captors. But she looks on Naaman through a child's eyes of faith. And she knows in her heart that God can heal him. She knew the book. She knew that God had healed humanity's cancer through Noah's Ark. She knew that God had healed Israel, taking them through the sea. She knew that God had even healed Job of his waywardness. But it's not just that she knew he could be healed. This kidnapped little girl wished he would be healed. Seems like a pretty big leap. She must have been one of those kids that couldn't stand to see a flower droop or a puppy sneeze, let alone watch Naaman rot and die. So she passes along a word, a rumor, a hope. There is a man of God in Israel who can heal. Now, Naaman didn't believe in the God of Israel. He didn't know the stories she did or the stories you know. And he was an important man, and important men don't have to listen to unimportant people, servants, foreigners, children. But he was sick. He was desperate. He was dying. And dying people will do anything they can to get better. If they hear about an evangelist in California, or an acupuncturist in India, or a medicine man in Portugal, they will go. Don't you dare look down on them. You do the same thing if you were in their shoes. A person on a sunny day cannot look down on how another person deals with a storm. So Naaman puts on his ornate uniform, his shining armor, pulls out his polished chariot. He's given $1 million from his king, and he goes to see this healer. And where does he go first? He goes to the palace. Important men go where important men are to be found. The king of Israel is skeptical. James Bond turns up in Moscow with a cough. Oh, I'm just looking for a prophet. The king has reason to be skeptical. But then an invitation comes, and he heads to go see Elisha. I'm sure he had in his mind how it would work. Elisha would come out gushing in his best robe, offer him a drink and a greeting, then say some really fancy long words and a really fancy long prayer, wave his arms around, and there was a chance he might get healed. But when Naaman gets there, Elisha doesn't come out to greet him. He doesn't come out to salute him. He doesn't come out to evaluate him. He doesn't come out at all. Just tells him to go wash in the little creek out back. Naaman will have none of it. I'm important. You should do something important for me. But God knew that Naaman was sicker on the inside than he was on the outside. Naaman was proud. Even in the most pitiable state, he still didn't know that he needed God. His lieutenants weigh in, encourage him, persuade him. Thank God for subordinates who help the ones they serve become a better person. And so Naaman goes to the edge of the water. It's barely a creek when it's rained. More of an old ditch when it hasn't. It's just ordinary water. Not much of it. But for the first time in his life, Naaman listens to a word from God. For the first time in weeks, he goes to bathe. For the first time in ages, he humbles himself. He sticks his nice polished sandal into the gray sludge and lets his tailored robe fall into the muck. And with 7 splashes, Naaman is more and more and more and more and more and more and more obedient to God. By the 7th splash, his tongue comes up against teeth in his mouth. His water-shriveled fingers have nails again. He runs those nails through a fresh mop of hair. And the Bible doesn't need to tell us that Naaman spent the rest of the day thanking God. Naaman's leprosy was not healed by a special prayer or fancy words or holy water. He was healed by obedience to the word of God. And because of the way God commanded it to be done, it wasn't just his skin that was healed. It was also his heart. See, Naaman's leprosy didn't need to go through the dirty water to be cleansed. God could have done that with a word. For his pride to be cleansed, he had to listen to a child, to a foreigner. He had to get dirty. God knew that more important than healing his outside was healing his inside. And so Naaman, a foreigner, an enemy, pitiable, a despicable mass, becomes a white-robed saint of God. And though the unimportant, unnamed slave girl might have worn rags every day of her life, though she might have fallen asleep every night, crying and praying and missing her parents, despite that, she showed love for her enemies, combined with a simple faith in the power of God. And so she, too, is a white-robed saint of God. Finally, at long last, back in the arms of her parents. Now, many years later, another man would go to wash in the Jordan River in obedience to the command of God. He wasn't a war hero. He didn't have a fancy uniform, wasn't hauling $1 million. He came like a child, inviting children to his side. He came like a servant, a suffering servant. He came to forgive enemies, to cleanse lepers, to cleanse not just bodies, but hearts. Jesus came for you. He came to cleanse you.